We're going to take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19 tonight. We're going to be in the end of the chapter. We're in 1 Kings chapter 19 last Sunday night. We're back again in our series we're calling Portraits. We're looking at different character studies throughout the Old Testament. Tonight we're going to look at the calling of Elisha and the response that he makes to the call of God upon his life. So we want to see in him a portrait of commitment. A portrait of commitment. So we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to start reading in verse 19 down through verse 21, the end of the chapter. 1 Kings 19 and verse 19. So he, that is Elijah, departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for this opportunity we have to spend in your word. Lord, may we never approach the Word of God lightly. May we never approach it without a desire to learn from you. And so, Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. We know that you can meet the needs of each person tonight by your Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And so we ask right now that you would do that tonight. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Back in 1990, United Airlines, they came out with a promotional deal that for $290,000, you could get a lifetime flight pass. So you could take as many flights as you want. You had this golden ticket to fly on United Airlines as much as you want, but you had to pay upfront $290,000. If you bought two, for you and another person, there was a slight discount. It was $500,000 something for it. But $290,000. So there's a man in New Jersey named Tom Stucker. And he bought this ticket back in 1990. He has flown 23 million miles with United Airlines on this free pass. He loves to fly. Now, he had to be pretty rich, I think, to drop $290,000 on this pass. But he has gotten full use out of this pass. There was one time he flew for 12 days straight without leaving an airport. He never got a hotel room. He never checked in anywhere. He never went home. For 12 straight days, he just went on flight after flight, staying in airport lounges, sleeping on the plane. He loves flying, and he really enjoys doing this. Now, he does it for a reason. He flies so much to accumulate like travel points and airline miles, and he has been able to get a lot of gift cards through this program. He's also been able to trade his air miles to different people, and he's actually made money off of this at this point. And he has said it's the best investment he ever made, that $290,000. 23 million miles. But I look at that story, and this guy, Tom, back in 1990, he saw this offer, and he saw the potential that was there in this opportunity, and he jumped on it. And not only did he jump on it, he went all in. 23 million miles flying with this airline, making money off of that. You know, when you see an incredible opportunity, you just got to jump on it, right? You can't let those things pass by, right? Maybe our opportunities are a little smaller than spending $290,000 on an airline pass. Maybe it's just a coupon you found. But whatever it is, right? When we see an opportunity that's good, we can't pass that up. So here comes Elijah, right? And God had talked to Elijah about anointing Elisha as the next prophet of Israel. So Elijah goes and he finds Elisha where he's at, and he walks by Elisha, and he takes the mantle that's on his shoulders, and he places it upon Elisha. And then it seems from this passage, in verse 19, he passed by, cast his mantle upon him, and it seems like he just keeps walking. I don't know if there's any conversation that takes place, but he puts this upon Elijah, and he keeps going. He just keeps walking. Now, this was a symbol of the office of the prophet, so Elisha understood what was being offered to him. And now Elisha has to make a choice, right? He has to look at where he is and what he has, and we see him plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, so it seems like he was pretty wealthy, being able to afford this. This was his life as a man plowing his fields and making his wealth that way. But all of a sudden, as Elijah goes by and takes this mantle and places it on the shoulders of Elisha, he's presented with this opportunity to leave everything and to follow Elijah. And he's got a choice to make. And we see in this passage, in verse 20 and 21, the commitment that Elisha makes. In this opportunity, Elisha says, I'm all in. I'm all in on this opportunity that's been presented to me. When the opportunity comes, Elijah does not let it pass him by. So a portrait of commitment. Commitment really to the Lord, ultimately to the Lord. Tonight, Jesus is looking for commitment from his people. That's what he wants from you and from me. He has thrown his mantle upon our shoulders. He's looked at us and said, I want you to follow me. And now we have a choice to make. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He's looking for us to commit. He's looking for us to make a complete commitment to follow him wherever he leads us. And so tonight, with the opportunity that's presented to us, what is our response? What's our response to the calling of Jesus Christ? Elisha is for us a portrait of the commitment that we need to make, the commitment we have to make to Jesus Christ. And I want to break the commitment down into two parts tonight. Here's the first one. Elisha made a commitment to follow. It's a commitment to follow. If we look in verse 20, when Elijah throws the mantle upon Elisha, it says, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And we find down in verse 21, at the end of the verse, then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. He makes a commitment to follow. Now, the Bible doesn't record a conversation between Elijah and Elisha in verse 19. It just records that Elijah throws his mantle upon Elisha, and then it seems like he continues on. So we don't have Elijah really explaining to Elisha all the details. We don't have Elijah convincing Elisha of this and saying, listen, Elisha, here's the benefits, and here's five good reasons for you to follow after the Lord and for you to do this. He just gives him the mantle and keeps going. Somehow Elisha knew who Elijah was. Somehow it seems like Elisha knew exactly what this meant, that God was calling him to be a prophet of Israel. And so Elisha makes this commitment. He makes a definite commitment that he is going to follow Elijah. Now, in the rest of the book of 1 Kings, we can follow the story of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha follows Elijah until Elijah is called home to heaven in that fiery chariot. And so Elisha would have walked with Elijah and learned from him. And there is this this method of discipleship where the disciple just stays close to the master and learns from them. This is what Elisha did. He walked with Elijah, and day by day, as they had this relationship, he would listen to him, he would learn from him, he would obey him, he followed Elijah, and he would learn from him in this entire time. But ultimately, we understand that this wasn't a commitment Elisha made to Elijah. He didn't make it to a man, he made it to God. Because when God takes Elijah home, Elisha keeps following the Lord. And as Elijah's removed from Elisha's life, Elisha keeps going the same direction he was going, the direction Elijah taught him to go in, which was, you're not following me, you are following the Lord. What the Lord tells you to do, that's what you're going to do. So this was Elisha's calling from the very beginning, not to a man, but to God. And that is our calling. That's what we're committing to. We're committing to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes commitment very seriously. Eleanor Roosevelt said, it's not fair to ask of others what you are not willing to do yourself. It's not fair to ask of others what you are not willing to do yourself. What we see in Jesus Christ, who has asked us to commit and to follow him, is a real commitment to us. We see the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf, that there was nothing he held back. He left all of heaven for us. So this is the commitment that Jesus Christ made to you and me. He made the commitment to leave heaven, take upon him the form of a servant, live on this earth, a sinless life. He committed to die on the cross for us. This is what Jesus Christ chose to do, to leave everything for us. And it shows us how seriously he takes this commitment. Galatians 1 and verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Titus 2 and verse 14, it says, who gave himself for us. When we needed him to commit to us, for us, he gave everything, everything for us. Now he asks us, all right, I want you to follow me. And that's the commitment that he asks from us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. And we looked at verse 21 on Easter Sunday, where Jesus Christ tells his disciples what's going to happen. That he is going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to be he's going to suffer and die and then be raised again the third day. But then he looks at his disciples in verse 24 and then said Jesus unto his disciples, listen, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We're to learn from Jesus Christ. And he set this example for us. And then he looked at his disciples and he looks at us today and says, okay, you take up your cross and you follow me. The example that I have set for you, that's what you're supposed to do. The commitment I made, that's the commitment that you're supposed to make. And this is why we're told to take up our cross, is because it's what Jesus Christ did for us. Now, it's not a literal cross that we have to carry. It's the idea of sacrifice, of sacrificing our lives for Jesus Christ, being willing to give up everything. To take up the cross is really to make a complete commitment, right? To take up our cross means to give up everything. Sometimes we don't like to commit to things. You know, we like to go as far as we can without crossing the point of no return, right? Because then all of a sudden, once we cross that point of no return, it's like we have to do it. We like to keep our options open. Taking up the cross is your cross that you're going across that line of no return, right? You are taking up your cross. So why did Jesus ask them to do that? Because there were a lot of people since then that haven't been martyred for the faith, right? So why did Jesus Christ ask people to take up their cross? And it's because it is the extreme. It's the idea of, if you're willing to do that everything before that, everything leading up to that, everything less than that, you're also willing to do. He asks us to be willing to give everything for him, to commit everything, including giving our very lives for him. He asks the greatest of us because he knows if we'll give that, if we're willing to do that, we'll be willing to do everything else. Taking up our cross, that commitment to follow Jesus Christ, means, Lord, I'll do anything, up to and including giving my life for you. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he has not done, but he did it for us. He showed us how serious this commitment is. And then he says, this is what I'm asking of you. This is what I want. And the one who gave his life for us deserves a complete commitment. He doesn't deserve anything less than that. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's what we're told. He died for us that we would live for him. He gave everything for us so that we would give all of our lives to him. And it's right for him to expect that from us. He deserves that from each of us. Complete commitment is what Elisha does. And it's the best thing that he could have done. It's the best thing we can do with our lives, is to entirely give them all to Jesus Christ. And Elisha makes this commitment. He looks at what is asked of him as Elijah passes by and casts his mantle upon Elisha. Elisha makes this choice. He knows what's being asked of him. He knows he is being asked to leave everything and follow Elijah and follow the Lord. And he chooses that. And for us, it's a commitment we need to make to follow God, be willing to take up our cross, to do what Jesus Christ has done for us, to give everything in service of the one who died for us. So Elisha makes a commitment to follow the Lord. So the first part is that it's a commitment to follow. But here's the second part. In verse 21 of 1 Kings chapter 19, Elisha also made a commitment to leave. It's a commitment to follow. It's also a commitment to leave. In verse 21, it says, "And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." To face one direction means you have to turn your back on the opposite direction. And this is what Elisha knows he's being asked to do. So in verse 20, he asks something of Elijah. He says, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee." So he asked permission to go back from where he was, find his parents, say goodbye to them, kiss them goodbye, and then he was going to follow Elijah. And so Elijah makes this response in verse 20. "And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" Now, some commentators think that Elijah's reply to Elisha meant that Elisha was not permitted to go back. But it seems very clear to me in verse 20 that he tells him to go back again. And for what I have, the phrase "for what I have I done to thee" is a bit opaque. It's hard to understand exactly what Elijah is communicating to Elisha there. But he tells him in verse 20 to go back again. And then in verse 21, it says, "And he returned back from him." That's the same verb. The verb "go back" in verse 20 is the same verb that's used in verse 21, "and he returned back." So he does what Elijah tells him to do. And so I believe he went back and kissed his father and mother goodbye. And then in verse 21, he takes a yoke of oxen and he kills them and he boils their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gives unto the people and they did eat. And he has this time of saying goodbye with this feast that he provides with this yoke of oxen. But it's interesting that in making a decision to follow, there's also things that he chooses to leave behind. He takes that yoke of oxen that he was plowing with and he sacrifices them. He chooses to kill things that he had been using. And he has this time of almost burning his bridges behind him because he's not going to need them anymore. He's not going to need that yoke of oxen, right? He's able to leave them behind and say, "I'm not going to use those anymore." He was showing his change in the new focus of his life, the new occupation that he was then going to have. He's signaling that he's done with all of that was behind him. And he even takes the instruments of the oxen, the plow and all the things that they would use, all the harness and all of that gear. He took all of that and he burned it. If Elisha was planning to come back, he'd probably hold on to that. You know, he'd probably hold on to all of those things. If Elisha had in his mind that there would come a time where maybe he would go back, that if maybe this whole prophet thing didn't work out for him, if he tried it for, you know, the 90-day trial period of this offer and decided he's not entirely happy with his new life, then maybe he would save those things and say, "You know what, I can always go back to that." But he made this commitment, and this commitment was, "I'm going to leave this behind. This is not anymore going to be a part of who I am. I'm changing all of that." It's also a signal that he was turning his back on earthly wealth and the pursuit of all of that. Because this is how you would make your living, with this oxen and then all the things that you need. Burning that was essentially burning money. He was burning wealth, right? And he had sacrificed wealth. He was making this commitment and this decision that wealth was not going to be his pursuit. He wasn't doing it because being a prophet was more valuable and would bring in more profit than this yoke of oxen. He was showing that I was pursuing before doesn't mean anything to me, and now I am just following the Lord. He makes this commitment, and this commitment is not only of following, but also of what he chose to leave behind in such a way that he was showing, "I'm not coming back to that anymore." If we're going to commit to following Jesus Christ, it will mean that we have to leave some things behind. There are some things we'll have to leave behind. So go with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, as we look at another passage in the New Testament concerning discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus Christ. There's something Jesus Christ tells his disciples. In Luke 14 and verse 25, it says that there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, right, all these people that were saying they wanted to follow Jesus Christ, here's what he told them. Verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Look down in verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. And that's some harsh words that Jesus Christ uses. And he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, to use the word hate, that's a serious word. What Jesus Christ was communicating to them was, you got to be willing to leave everything behind, including family, including people that you love. You have to be willing to put me before all of that. You're willing to leave everything behind to follow Jesus Christ. And I had said a minute ago that to follow Jesus Christ completely, it'll mean that we have to leave some things behind. But that's not true. We have to be willing to leave everything behind. Every single thing. And to follow Jesus Christ means that we're making a decision that Jesus Christ means more to us than every other thing. No matter what it might be, no matter how much we are attached to it, we're making the decision that Jesus Christ means more to us than everything else. And over the centuries, since Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ have had to leave everything for him. There have been men and women who have left their families for Jesus Christ, who have said that to stand up for Jesus Christ means that I will be taken away from my family, I could be put into prison, I could be killed for this. There have been families that have stood on the deck of a ship and waved goodbye to their families as they've sailed across the ocean to preach the gospel in a different country, knowing that they will probably never see their family again. And there have been disciples of Jesus Christ throughout the centuries who have made really hard choices to leave a lot of things behind. There have been people that have given up the family fortune to go and serve Jesus Christ. They've said, spiritual wealth means more to me than anything I could get in this life. There are people that have given up everything to follow Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus Christ asks us to be willing to do, to leave everything behind. And in the face of what Jesus Christ has done for us and what we know others have done throughout the centuries, it makes our hesitations feel really shallow sometimes, to be honest. That the ways we kind of go, I don't know, and we, you know, spend a lot of time counting the cost and wondering about things, it makes it seem really, really selfish of us to not be willing to leave everything for Jesus Christ, especially when we look at Jesus Christ and see what he left for us. And then he asks of us to leave things behind, and it's a commitment we have to make to look at Jesus Christ and say, I'm willing to leave everything for you. Now, there are things that Jesus Christ allows us to continue to have, but there needs to be that willingness to leave all of that behind. Elisha sacrifices his oxen. He leaves all of his tools behind. He burns all of that, and he follows the Lord. He is this portrait of what it means to completely commit, to look to Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to follow the Lord, and say, I'm going to leave everything else behind because I'm following Jesus Christ. A portrait of commitment. Have we committed to serving Jesus Christ and to truly following the Lord? Have we completely committed to following him? Are we looking ahead as we follow him? Are we keeping our eyes fixed on him? I want to look at one more passage. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're going to look in verse 57. In Luke chapter 9, Luke records a number of individuals that come to Jesus Christ and ask about following Jesus, saying, I want to be a disciple, I want to follow you. And it tells us how Jesus Christ deals with them. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 57, it says, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And the idea is that this man looked at that and went, well, I don't know if I want to do that. Verse 59, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. But then look at verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, that last one sounds a lot like Elisha, doesn't it? It sounds a lot like what Elisha asks of Elijah. Yet Elisha was allowed to go back and have this whole meal kind of with his family and then say goodbye to them and follow Elijah. How come Elisha was allowed to do it and this man seems like he wasn't allowed to do it? And I think the difference in verse 62 is what Jesus Christ says to him. And he says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I think the difference is this man here in Luke chapter 9, in his heart was looking back. And that's where this request came from. That while his words say, Lord, I want to follow you, I'm going to follow you, yet his heart was not committed to the Lord. There was something in his heart that Jesus saw and says, your eyes and your mouth are headed one way and your heart's headed the other way. Your heart's not completely given over to Jesus Christ. And yet Elisha, even as he went back to kiss his father and mother goodbye, his heart was gone. His heart was with Elijah. His heart was already following the Lord. And the question for us tonight is, not what do we say with our mouth, not what we present to other people, but what the Lord knows about us. Where's our heart headed? Is our heart holding on to things that should be left behind? And are there simply things that we're not willing to let go of, that have such a grip on our heart that we cannot completely follow Jesus Christ? God doesn't always ask us to leave all of these things behind. He doesn't ask us always to leave everything. He asks us to be willing to. He asks us to be willing to surrender all of that and say, Lord, if it comes down to a choice between you and something else, it's always going to be you. I've already made that decision. I won't have to make that decision when the time comes. I've already made that decision. This is what the Lord asks, that we would commit to following him so much that we make a choice that if the time comes, we're willing to leave everything behind for Jesus Christ. A portrait of commitment that we see in Elisha, who says, I'm going to follow the Lord, leave everything behind. Are we completely committed? Are we completely committed to Jesus Christ, to following him, leaving everything else behind? Let's close with prayer.